So I'm about 80% through the article, but there's still new stuff. So I'm going to redo what I just did, the last paragraph. You know, because I slept in, I didn't have a chance to check this. So education, Madeline and Jermaine, what is education? You know, the blacks and the Watts riot in 65, the famous quote McLuhan used was the kid saying in the middle of the riot, why should we interrupt our education and go to schools? So they meant that what they watched on TV, all the Black Power, Black Panther community, public address media they had, and the organizing electric media allowed them to decentralize out of the national educational bureaucracy and learn, reconnect with their roots and their tribalism. Of course, that became political, and then they got blown up and dispensed with. But they had this instinct that there was more actual education going on in the media in general that made blacks look good because it was color TV, and so they didn't see the book as important. But see, that's a bunch of radicalized small cells of blacks. In general, the black population wants to get access to schools and education. Right in that point, Watts is 1965. I think that's the year of the Civil Rights Act Johnson brings in. They're just getting the right to vote, and they're just getting the integrated schools. What are the white kids doing? They're leaving their suburbs and getting on the road and hitchhiking to San Francisco or to other places, or going over to Europe or going to Asia. See, they're becoming a kinetic and mobile and not stuck in visual space, and they're not, and this is all instinctive. The new media makes the young people go for the new and the new effects. It's a put on. It's not till later will they fall back into what they really are conditioned by. So eventually, and McLuhan predicted this in the late 60s, he says all these kids, they're going to, in 10, 15 years, get a literate identity, and then they'll be like us, and they'll just carry on in their educational. He said that they would all become bureaucrats for peace, and that is one of the big biases of the baby boomers. They have this new age or this abstract idea that you can bring harmony to the world. In other words, get everybody on the same page. That's a literate bias. That's literate homogeneity. And the electric media favor heterogeneity and decentralization and multi-consciousness. That's what the baby boomers were always stressed out about. They couldn't understand why people couldn't get on the same page. Then Generation X comes along, and they have a bit more awareness about the decentralization. But they have no role for themselves. And then the computer, the Android mean comes along, and the younger kids and those of the boomers and Generation X, if they learn computers, they get on board and they do okay for a while. But overall, the Android meme is going to wipe out everybody. And that begins with Web 2.0 with YouTube and Facebook. They all come in the middle of the Bush era. And then that is everybody becoming a god through their chip body. Mm-hmm. And the institutions can't handle that. And so the economy collapses in 2008. The bankers can't stay on the same page. They don't trust each other. So here we are 10 years later, and it's gotten weirder than anybody could predict, other than McLuhan predicted back in the 60s. He said, we're going to see more and more bizarre forms, like Twiggy. And there's been nothing but more bizarreness in movies, in music, in politics, every decade. So we are constantly forced to learn a living. We're not earning livings. You learn. And you can learn by being on welfare and watching Oprah and providing an audience for her, which creates wealth. Or you can learn by going back to school. Or you can learn because you got to do retreats in your big corporate job, and you got to go to Esalen and learn how to massage your imprint ego and become group-oriented and learn how to be cool. Or you can learn with whatever they do in corporations to keep up with the latest developments. You see, there's so much learning you can put on the four-body level, five-body level. That is what we're involved in, the global classroom. And most people will freak out because they can't have their chemical body mind competently making up patterns and pressures on themselves that are demanded by the learning environment, by the global classroom, which Madeline's getting in a microcosm. She's learning people, teaching stuff, and they admit, I can't take it. Now, I never understood that. I could always take it wherever we went. But apparently people recognize that they can't take in what Madeline's saying at a certain point. Now, you want to comment on that, Madeline? Well, maybe she's on mute. Yes.
No, I'm here. I don't know what I can say. I don't know what else I can say about that.
Yeah, but they're experiencing it. They reach their limits all the time with you.
Yeah, but the thing is, other than you, or unlike you, that they are so uncomfortable with their limits. And if you're not uncomfortable with your limits, then they push out when you reach them.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. That's something that, you know, and I don't know, I have a hard time applying that to a demographic or a constituency or a party or anything. That's just people. I don't know. I mean, I find I sort of introduce myself lately to people I meet as like, hey, I like Trump. Can you deal with me? And it's shocking to me, actually, how many people are like, I don't care. Like, okay, whatever. Like, they sort of, they're sort of enthralled. They're like, oh, my God, you opened with that? Who are you? You know? Like,
yeah.
It's not really
it's
hurting
a good...
me that much. It's not hurting
right.
me.
Right. Also, there's a, hey, Madeline, there's a fatigue. People are sick of the Trump scandal.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and they don't care.
The thing is, the fatigue is because you don't know what the fuck. That comes from parroting. If you had the inner conviction, you wouldn't be fatigued.
Okay, we only got a few minutes, Madeline. We can continue this on the unrecorded part. But let me just get a token bit of the next paragraph of the McLuhan, since some of you wanted it. I was going to repeat the learning thing, but screw that. Let's just go to see what he says about art. Look at this. The artist, now, this never happened, unless this is the meaning of Kanye and Beyonce. He says for the 80s, the artist will be recognized as the missing link in man's evolutionary equipment. Boy, that's a big statement, eh? That the artist will be... The artist will be recognized as the missing link in man's evolutionary equipment. That's the biggest statement you could ever make.
The whole time.
Right. But see, that's the chemical body looking for a human prophet, and the artist became the culture hero because nobody could handle religion. Generally, people are, you know, they're not literate, they're not into religion, they're into media consumption, so media people... Media stars are the new prophets, the new gods. So that's the update of the artist. So then he says, Tom Wolfe wrote a book based on McLuhan stuff in 1975 called The Painted Word, which is he explains that most of the art of the 20th century was based on theory. If you were a great artist, you had to have a great theory, and then you'd paint it. So it's a painted word was so that, in a way... Painting, which was iconic, tactile, and it had color, it's not a visually biased medium. But it jumped on itself and became a visually biased and had to become a abstract, wordy theory because painting was obsolesced by radio and television and movies. So within its own dynamic, Gutenberg art, it had to switch to another Gutenberg art. So that's why it's called the painted word. The Painted Word by Tom Wolfe is a witty spoof on American art and critics. And many art and critics and artists got really mad at Wolfe. But that's because he used McLuhan, and McLuhan always bugged people. Instead of representing the external world, painters have come back to confronting their own dialogue as the subject of art, their own dialogue as a medium, as a tradition, and about their identity. So artists engage in an identity crisis and put it right out in front of everybody. That's why they got the charisma in the 1670s. They were the ones worth, or people said, I wish I could explore like Madeline, the great artist. She can explore all this stuff. I want to be an explorer. So that was the chemical body dream that the artist filled in until Reagan came along. So McLuhan says, this was the condition of the cave painter, who painted not reindeer and buffaloes, but the magical and evocative word for these creatures. The artist as specialist, that's Gutenbergian artist, fades from view. In, so the old artist is going to lose out. This is why Warhol just became a, you know, empty-headed guy running a magazine. He knew enough to do that. The artist as specialist fades from view. In the sciences, as field theory opens up, specialism will also diminish as serious activity. So, yeah, the scientists lost their charisma in the 70s, but then they brought back a paralyzed, cripple guy, Stephen Hawking, to evoke sympathy. So that was the icon of science. And
yeah,
be translated.
Yeah.
Okay, in the sciences, as field theory opens up, specialism will also diminish as serious activity and be translated instead into a prestigious, narcissistic hangover and substitute for private identity. That's exactly the Stephen Hawking phenomenon. He was this narcissistic idiot, robotoid. Say that again?
I feel like I read that a while ago, like months ago from you.
Well, it was posted on I and Bob. Maybe that's when you read it. I didn't say it. I didn't get this far. Anyways, we only got another minute, but just I just want to get you aware of the interesting things McCoon says. Currently, we are
in the process of this is incredible.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Currently, we are in the process of computerizing all phases of education. And this is being written in 1979. The effect is to render the older Western forms of education and classwork into a new fiscal art form. The bottom line is what happens in education. A bureaucracy cannot deal with education in any serious sense, that is, bureaucratic computerized education, by placing learning. So what they do, they place learning on a cost-benefit basis, makes the education system on all levels a subdivision of manpower bureaucracy and citizens and systems development and part of an overall quantified energy program. So people become energy slots. Bureaucracy feels, especially at home with systems analysis and quantified forms of grading performance. The only specifiable goal is a job. By the end of the 80s, so he's saying in 10 years, our education system will be fully clothed in the garment of computers. In such a system, there is no place for humane learning or ideals. Right. The drive is toward robotism. That is toward the functionary, the well-adjusted man. Subsequently, humane studies may become available only on the pattern of the medieval wandering scholar, another form of gorilla.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yep. Yep.
That's how you get a fancy sports car.
He's a freaking St. Louis.